This is Giving Purpose Podcast, highlighting Bay Area nonprofits and the work they do to better our communities.
Hello and welcome to Giving Purpose Podcast, where we highlight San Francisco Bay Area nonprofits and the work they do to better our communities. This is your host, Ana Pimentel Calero, along with co-host Joe Neto, and we are very excited to have you listening in and would like to introduce you to our guest. But first, how's your day going, Joe?
It has been a solidly difficult day today. Challenges of the day, you know, Monday, I guess, is what, I don't want to be too specific on the days, but, you know, Mondays are a little bit harder than some of the other days of the week. It was a rough day, but it was a good weekend, so I'm hoping that the rest of the week just falls into place, you know?
I'm sure it will. It's just those Mondays.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's introduce our guest. Lakeisha Phillips Marshall is the executive director and founder of Justin Parker Warrior House, along with her husband and co-founder, Leon Marshall Jr., know firsthand the impact of a life-threatening diagnosis or the death of a child has on the family and throughout the community. Having coped with the loss of their son, Justin Parker, Lakeisha and Leon have shared their experiences to demonstrate that even though people can experience immense grief, there is still life to live on the other side of tragedy, leading to embrace a normal new life while managing through a lifelong healing process. So first, how are you, Lakeisha, today?
I'm doing well. I mean, I kind of have the same sentiment as Joe. It's Monday, but I'm glad we're at the end of the day and looking forward to the rest of the week.
That was a lot to unpack in that introduction, and that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. Would you like to just tell us who you are and what do you do?
So, again, I'm Lakeisha Phillips Marshall, and I run a nonprofit by the name of Justin Parker Warrior House. And what Justin Parker Warrior House is a foundation. It's actually a legacy in honor of my son, Justin, who passed away from cancer. And what we do is, in remembering the things that my family went through while Justin was battling cancer, we give back to families who are caring for children with terminal illnesses or cancer in the form of like gift cards or gas cards. We adopt families during the holidays and just pretty much be there for them like people were there for us when we were going through.
Yeah, I can only imagine that's something that not everyone thinks about is, you know, everyone's focus is on the child who has the illness, but there's probably so much more to unpack behind the scenes that we don't even know about. Why do you continue doing the work that you do? Because, you know, you could have just stopped right after, you know, dealing with everything that happened with your son. Why do you continue? Like, what makes you want to keep going?
Well, we continue this work because when we were going through it, there were different struggles and things that we were going through. And we felt that there needed to be an organization that helped families to go through those things. I just remember the things like, who's gonna cook dinner? Or if you have another child at home, who's gonna, you know, care for that child? Like you said, a lot of times the focus is on the child who is sick. But childhood cancer doesn't only affect the child, it affects the whole family and the community and friends of those who are connected to that family.
Right.
Yeah, I've had not a childhood experience, but in my childhood, I've experienced cancer with my grandmother, and I understand. I mean, even growing throughout the years, I just recently had, you know, not even a family member, but somebody was close like a family member, and it just trickles down into to everybody around. It's a community-based, you know, I don't want to say issue, but, you know, community-based response,
yes.
You know, in effect. So, yeah, anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Oh, of course. And then can you tell a little specifics about, like, where do you do it? Or, you know, I know you're based in the Bay Area, but a little bit of background, like, do you partner with any hospitals or any specific area, like, that's your home base?
So we partner with most of Justin's care was done at Lucille Packard Children's Hospital. So we like to definitely give back to the hospital. They have child life, people who are in the BAS Center, which is a center where the kids go to get chemo and things of that sort. So we donate coloring books, we donate toys, so that when kids are coming in for treatment, they have things that they're able to do, and they're not only focused on the chemo that they're going to get or whatever it is that they're going to get that day. We also partner with different social workers within the Bay Area, so the local hospitals that have oncology. We will partner with them. They will reach out. They will refer a family, and we will reach out, see what the needs of that family are, and do everything that we can to help support that family. And if we're not able to do it, then we'll reach out to other organizations that can help.
That's incredible. One of my really good friends is a nurse at the Children's Hospital here in the Bay Area at one of the Children's Hospitals, and she says that she tries to make her scrubs or pins or anything as joyful and colorful as possible, and she says that it is the best job to have.
Yeah.
So I can, those coloring books being donated, that's incredible, and that's something so small that most people don't think about that probably really makes a large difference. What drove you to start your giving, like continually giving purpose? Is that phrase do anything, or that phrase really inspire you in any way or remind you of anything of your organization?
Well, it does. A lot of people are not focused on childhood cancer. You know, we hear about all the other cancers. You have breast cancer, all kind of other cancers, and it's not really until you're personally affected by a child who is diagnosed with cancer. So our purpose is to give back, bring more awareness to childhood cancer, as well as we also partner with Be the Match and do a bone marrow drive. So we get people to register to be on the bone marrow registry, because a lot of minorities, Black, Brown, Asian, there's not a lot of people who donate. And there's a lot more children being diagnosed, as well as adults with different cancers. And, you know, a lot of them may need a bone marrow transplant, and you don't have those people who are registered. So we try to bring awareness that way as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, your strength and your will is just, it's just a testament to the person that I know who you are. I mean, I see you all the time, and, you know, you're, in our other realm where we know each other, you're just, you know, a fabulous person. And you know, just, you know, going through all this, I'm going through the website and I'm going doing my research, and I'm just thinking how incredibly strong and strong-willed that you are for doing this. And thank you for being here with us today and talking about it. So do you have any specific experience in the field that you are directly impacting right now?
I would say yes, because my child was diagnosed with cancer. A lot of times, I mean, when you're going through it and you're going to hospital visits, the nurses, the doctors, they become your second family, because a lot of times your friends and family who are not there with you do not understand. So they become your second family. And, you know, I've had to give chemo at home and, you know, administer other types of medication. So I became a part of it while going through it. And I think that a lot of families they feel like they don't have that connection with other people when they're going through it. And that was part of the reason why I felt we had to create Justin Parker Warrior House. There are times where I speak with moms who don't have anyone else to talk to because they feel like nobody understands what they're going through. And I just am that ear to hear, shoulder to cry on if they need it, and let them know that they're not alone. And it's okay to be upset. It's okay to feel how they're feeling in the moment, even if no one else understands.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. Being, like I said, somebody that's had to console or had to figure out, how do I console my friends that are, they are like my family. Now, it's really a hard thing imagining what they're, you know, what they're going through, and they feel alone. They feel like nobody else could actually possibly feel this way. And on the outside, us trying to help too, we're trying to empathize with that feeling. But we feel towards that. It's just not the same. If it was my mother, for instance, or my friend's mom, for instance, you know, that's not my mom, but yet I still have that love and strength for that person, and I want to be there for that person. And it's really hard to put all that into, you know, something you could package up and, hey, I'm here for you.
Right.
You know, but I think what you're putting out there, this is, you know, it's even more so because you're dealing with children, and that's just, you know, it's a really hard path, and I'm sure you feel alone during those times, you know, that nobody else could experience that. And being that you have that experience, you can share that, as hard as it is, with other people and comfort them, you know, and give them a shoulder to cry on. Yeah.
Right. You know, you bring up a really good point, Joe, because I feel like you said it perfectly, someone that understands what you're going through. And that's amazing that you and your husband, you know, are pretty much the founders of this organization. And because I feel like a lot of people are trying to say the right thing, their hearts might be in the right place, but what is really the right thing unless they know what you're going through? And having somebody to be able to talk to and console and say, hey, I understand completely what you're going through, that's incredible. And even if there's not any monetary funds that are coming after that, which is incredible that your organization does and helping out in any way possible, but even just that consoling and that comfort of somebody who knows what they're going through, that's probably a healing in its own.
I think it's important also when a lot of people sometimes will ask, you know, well, they don't say anything because they don't know what to say. And I know when we were going through it, even if we don't respond, just calling and leaving a voicemail or sending a text, we see it and we appreciate it. And we may not be in the mindset in the moment to return the call or text, but just knowing that people are out there thinking of us, sending positive, you know, whatever our way, I think that's important. Because a lot of times I hear from families that they lose, or they feel like they lose a lot of friends and family because they don't understand what they're going through. And those people don't know what to say, so they kind of fall off. But it's important to just be there, even if they're not responding to you. You being there is enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in that realm just recently and lost a really close person to me back in November. And it really was one of those things where it was good morning was good enough. You know, just to get a response that says, hey, good morning. You know, and a good morning back. We didn't have to conversate because I knew she didn't have the strength to do all that. But there's something in that, you know, just reaching out and saying, hey, good morning. You know, right. glad to be able to wish you that today, you know.
And this podcast is bringing great awareness, too. I feel like, you know, we're, of course, highlighting your nonprofit, but people that come in and listen to this and say, hey, you know, I don't know how to comfort my family member that's going through this, it's great just to hear how they can in different ways, how they can do it on their side, and then how your guys' nonprofit can also help them on the other side as well.
I wanted to ask a little bit, like, what does a typical day at Justin Parker Warrior House look? But I want to, it's more, what does a typical routine when you do have a family reach out to you? You know, what's your first step in recognizing a family or bringing a family in?
So we get the referral, and I'll reach out to the family, introduce Justin Parker Warrior House to them, see if they are familiar with Justin Parker Warrior House. If they're not, then I give them my background. A lot of times they have a child who's going through chemo, so I let them know that I've been there, I've been where they are, and I'm just reaching out to them to see what it is that they need. A lot of times they just want to give for the child, especially like when we adopt families for Christmas. The parents are more focused on the child, and I let them know, okay, this is the list for the child, but what about you? What is it that you need? Do you need a spa day? Like, what does your significant other need? Because we want to make sure to encompass the whole family, because we understand that they're all going through it.
Yeah, again, that is a really important part. I mean, anybody that has experience in it can see how the family is affected, you know, and sometimes they just need somebody to say, hey, you know what, take a break, or, you know, we got you on this, and we'll hold it down for a little bit while you go breathe or take a day off, you know, because it is an everyday thing, you know, every day, not every hour, you know, there's something happening. How many families does Justin Parker Warri House serve per year on average?
On average, it could be, I would say, like from January to September, it's usually like 10 to 15. And then we ramp up more during the holiday because the referrals start coming in so that we can adopt families. So I would say maybe like 30 to 40. It just depends.
Yeah. And is this like how many days of the week do you concentrate on one family? Is it tiered or do you have multiple people working with you that are assisting with, you know, helping you out doing these things, or is it just you and your husband?
I have other people who help out. Usually we are the initial contact, get the information from the families, and then I kind of farm it out to other people to, you know, I have one lady who makes gift baskets. So like if we're doing a Mother's Day thing, then she will, you know, I'm like, okay, these are the types of things that we want in the basket. And she'll go out and do the shopping and put the baskets together and do all of that. So, but we are the ones who make the initial contact and speak with the families.
Yeah. I know you mentioned that you work with Lucille Packard. Are there any other nonprofits or other, you know, corporations that assist with you, that donate to you, that in helping out, you know, with gifts and packages and food or anything of that sort?
So a lot of it just comes from donations that we get, and people will find us online, or, you know, friends of friends are like, oh, I want to donate to your organization, and then we'll get donations that way. Usually with the, like Lucille Packard, we work with George Mark House, which is a hospice respite in San Leandro, and that's actually where Justin spent his last days. And they refer families as well. But for us, it's more receiving the referrals from those organizations and giving back to them and not them giving to us.
I see what you're saying. So the way you're working with other entities are they're actually referring people to you, and that's you're giving the help out there. That's that is pretty significant. So I was looking through your website, and on your services page, you have a phrase, providing a safe, exceptional place for the families we serve, but also has a list of amenities that you would like to provide in the future. You know, how are you looking to ramp up your services for future progress?
So with these amenities, these are things that we wish we had. Being in the hospital, spending the night, you know, having people, I had an older son at the time and a younger son. So we had to have someone come to the hospital, take him, spend time with him. And what Justin Parker Warri House hopes to be with these amenities is a respite. So families are at the hospital. They need a break. They want to take a hot shower. They want a hot meal. They could come to Justin Parker Warri House and obtain those things and then go back to the hospital. So these are what some of the amenities would be, like a shared kitchen. So if they want to cook themselves a meal, then they could. Or the hope would be, like, we would have a cook. So they come in, and it would be a home-cooked meal and not hospital food. As well as, you know, sleeping quarters, so they could come and take a nap and feel like they don't have to be away from their child for that long. But it's really uncomfortable sleeping in the hospital.
Yeah.
So you get to sleep in a bed, take a nap, and be able to refresh yourself and go back to the hospital. But it's a break from the hospital, but you're not that far, and you still get to have the amenities as if you were at home.
Yeah, I've slept in that little solo bed that they got there, and it's not fun. Spent a week, I think, doing that. And that was too much for me, so I could only imagine if it goes any further than that. But so is the hope to actually have a physical building at some point, maybe in close proximity to the hospital, that folks can venture, you know, away from the hospital, set up, you know, for a few hours or however long it takes, an evening? Is that the end goal?
That is the end goal, and to be referred there. But, like, you have Ronald McDonald House, and you have other organizations where the families are referred by social workers. There's waiting lists. This is more of, I don't want to say revolving door, but I'm going to say revolving door, to where, you know, you could just drop in. So it's not like you have to be on a waiting list. It's like, oh, I'm going to go over to Justin Park or Warrior House. So the hope would be to have one near one of the major children's hospitals, and hopefully, you know, have some in other states as well.
Yeah, I mean, time is of the essence in these moments. So, you know, having some place like that that you can walk in rather than sitting on a waiting list for what could be weeks, months, you know, I think that's very important. I think it's a great aspect of this.
I think also, like you said, like just having a place to go shower or take a nap. And it's crazy to think that there are some, you know, there's a large need, so there are waiting lists, but providing something where it's like, hey, I can just come and knock on the door and be like, my child's down the street, I just need a 30-minute power nap and a shower. And to be able to, like you said, go back and be refreshed and be present, not just for themselves and their own mental state, but also for their child, and really be able to be that their best self for them. I think that's incredible. And, you know, I don't think a revolving door is a bad I don't think that's a bad term either. You're using it in a positive way, kind of giving them what they need in that moment, because sometimes it's not a large gesture that they need, but maybe just, hey, I just need this 30-minute nap.
Right.
Something so small that could really make a large difference in their day or week or month.
Right. Uninterrupted sleep. Because usually if you're in the room, you're hearing beeping. You know, nurses are coming in and out taking vitals, and you just get to sleep. And then, like you said, you're refreshed. You could go back, and you can be your full self.
Yeah. Going back to the website services page, there's a section regarding expanding your services to include things such as transportation, as well as meal and professional services and sibling support programs. Could you elaborate a little bit more on those?
Yes. So as far as transportation, so sometimes you have families who are coming from long distances, especially like to Stanford, because they want top treatment. And they may have come down, don't have a car. So it's like they get picked up from the hospital, they get driven to Justin Park or Warrior House, they get the break, they get to go back. As far as the sibling services, I think about my children and what they were going through. And a lot of times the siblings get lost in the mix as well, because their brother or sister is going through it. They see the parents are going through it. They have their needs, but they don't want to make it about them because they already have a sibling who's going through it. So the sibling support would be, you know, it could be a group. It would be with other siblings who could sit down and talk about what they're going through, and they can encourage and support each other and feel like they have a safe place to just be able to voice their frustrations amongst each other without bringing them to their parents thinking that it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I feel that's an extremely important part of all this. I mean, you know, everything is very, and rightfully so, concentrated on the sick child and the parents, you know, applying all that energy there. It really is important for the siblings to have a place to, you know, or feel like, you know, they're actually just get their feelings out there, you know, and have some kind of support program. I really admire everything that you're putting into this. You know, being a parent myself, I try to put myself in this perspective, and it's just, every time I just, you know, I kind of break down a little bit. Yeah.
So, you know, like every nonprofit organization, there's not profit coming in. So you need the help of, right, different partnerships or volunteers. And a lot of our listeners that are tuning in really want to know how they can be a part of these organizations. How important are volunteers, and how can our listeners become volunteers if they do choose to get involved in the organization and are inspired by the podcast and the amazing work that Justin Parker House is doing?
I think at this point, like as far as volunteers, we've done like hygiene drives to where, you know, they're in the hospital, you know, so we've done like toothbrushes and soap and lotion and socks and things of that sort. So like organizing different drives that can bring different donations in so that they could be passed out to the families. Even making things, we've had people make blankets, pillowcases, putting together little packets. So like once the donations come in, being able to just put the care packages together so that they could be delivered. The same with like coloring books and things of that sort. So those are the types of volunteers that I would love to have, because me just being me, it can be overwhelming and it could be a lot. And I love to do the work because, you know, I love the families that we're helping, because I was once where they were, and I want to make sure that they feel supported. So things of that sort would be great.
Amazing.
Now, just to touch on that real fast, I know you put on the annual holiday toy drive that benefits Lucille Packard Children's Hospital. I'm not sure if we talked about this already, but can you tell us a little bit more about that event and the importance of funding the work done at Lucille Packard Children's Hospital?
So usually it runs like twofold, because when COVID hit, it was more a monetary or cash donation. So we had two running alongside. So that's when we started adopting the families. So we have people who donate monies that gets donated to Lucille Packard. And then that's where the social workers and everyone came in and referred families to us. So we're also supporting families out there who are trying to, you know, get gifts for their kids.
Yeah. Do you put this on every year for how long? How long have you been doing this? This is something I should have probably asked from the beginning, but how long have you been, you know, has Justin Parker Warrior House been going?
This will be our fourth year. So we started during COVID, but the toy drive started before we actually became an official nonprofit. So this would have been, so we didn't have one last year just because we didn't get the amount of donations that we would have liked. But this year would have been the sixth. So we've had five, but we didn't do it this year.
Are there any other kind of drives or events that you pull people together for?
We do a bowl-a-thon, and that's where we bring in Be the Match. So usually Justin's old school friends will show up and show support, and we try to invite other people from the community to get them to swab their cheek and become bone marrow donors.
Incredible. And then can you just tell our listeners like a little bit of details or process of becoming a bone marrow donor?
Really, it's pretty simple. There's a even if you don't come to the drive, there's an envelope packet. You scan the QR, you put in your information, you swab your cheek, you put it back in the envelope, and you mail it back. It's that simple.
Incredible. Yeah, and I think most listeners just don't know the process of becoming a donor, or, you know, they think of this huge thing, like they see Grey's Anatomy, and they think it's this large process, when in reality it's something so small that someone could do and really make a large difference in a child's life and in a family's life
yes.
as well.
So we were just discussing, you know, the events that you put on in the community. What communities are you, do you target a certain community? Are you doing it, is it open to anybody that, you know, any community?
It's pretty open to any community. One year we had a family out here from out of state. Their son was having heart transplant and they needed to get back. So I reached out to another organization and was able to get them all airfare to fly back home. So it doesn't, I mean, I say in California, it doesn't necessarily have to be like the greater Bay Area. I mean, we've gotten referrals from Contra Costa County, from other counties out of the way. So it just depends. If we're not able to help, then we definitely reach out to other organizations and say, hey, we have this family. We're not able to help them with this. Are you able to help them with that? And then we will get them linked up.
Can you describe a time where you saw a significant impact to an individual or group as a direct result of Justin Parker House, like a success story? You can leave names out of it, put names into it, up to you.
I would say last year, Christmas, when we were adopting families, there were a couple of the families, one little girl who, you know, was so excited to be able to get gifts, but then she got sick and wound up being in the hospital. But how happy her siblings were and her mom was to just be able to not worry about having to go shopping for Christmas gifts and be able to give their children the gifts that they had on their wish list, especially with mom being in the hospital with that child. And then, you know, them sending us the pictures so that we could see the smiles on their face when they got the gifts. That is what.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge relief. I mean, everything else becomes secondary. And to have, have that task carried out for you, I'm sure, is something that those families are very thankful for. When did you first think of starting a nonprofit? I mean, obviously, that's a obvious point is when, you know, you lost your son. But how long after that did you feel, or were you already in that mode as you were dealing with your son?
It actually took me 3 years. I had the dream, but I didn't do anything with it. And then I started the toy drive first and the bowl-a-thon. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make it a nonprofit and, you know, continue his legacy and help other families out there. And that's what we did.
How big do you think, like, how important do you think partnerships and working with any other community nonprofits? Do you work with any community nonprofits currently, I guess I should ask?
Not currently, no.
Okay. Are there any, like, other organizations that you work with that you think have really helped or you hope to, or do you think that that's even somewhere you're going with your nonprofit?
Definitely that is somewhere where I'm going. I think it's important that nonprofits come together, community organizations come together, because what one can't do for someone, the other one can. And if we're all coming together for the same common goal, we're able to support more people within the community. So I think it's definitely important to be able to collaborate with other organizations.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What are your biggest challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is getting funding and donations. Because we really want to help families, and sometimes it's like, well, I'm pulling from my personal, because, you know, you get a referral and it's like you don't want to not help them, you know. Especially like one time we had a family that got referred to us, and mom was not taking her son to appointments because they didn't have gas money. So, you know, I've gone as far as going on Facebook and saying, hey, we have this family who needs to get their child to an appointment. Donate here. And then as it comes in, then we purchase gift cards and we give them to them, and they're able to get their child to an appointment.
Yeah, I think a lot of nonprofits have, you know, that's a big challenge, is getting people to notice you, to know who you are, to know about you. What advice would you have for other nonprofits out there that are trying to, you know, put themselves in a better position to help people by gaining volunteers and donors?
I would say don't give up. I know there are some times where I'm like, you know what? The donations aren't coming in. I'm feeling really defeated. I think I'm going to throw in the towel. And then a donation comes in. And it's like, okay, I'm going to keep going, because I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for other families out there. And they need organizations like mine and others in order to be able to support their children and families. So.
Right. So other than, like, you know, putting together live events and stuff of that sort, what are the main avenues to gain, you know, eyesight on your nonprofit? Is it just through social media? Is there any kind of marketing? You know, I hate to use the word marketing, but is there any way, how do you, how do you promote what you're doing? How do you do it, actually? 'Cause
I do social media, friends, families that we've helped, reaching out to the social workers at the hospitals, and just being present and telling our story and, you know, letting them know that, hey, we're here. And also, you know, trying to apply for grants, or you see something coming up and, you know, just applying, you know, the worst they could do is say no, but keep hitting the pavement and trying to make it happen.
Do you ever, like, visit the hospital and, like, kind of, you know, talk to people that are there, families that are there? Do they ever do that, like, at the hospital, like, bring people together and you might discuss what you're doing, present, I guess? Present is what I'm trying to say.
I haven't done that. I do go back to Lucille Packard, to the Bass Center, visit the nurses, visit the child life, bring donations, and just let them know, like, hey, here's a postcard if you have a family. I definitely, you know, love to. I did, I was a runner-up for Remarkable Woman of the Year.
Oh,
so
yes.
I got featured on Channel 4, you know, so getting the word out that way, you know, and I guess I'm a really humble person, so I don't really like boosting myself up and talking about myself. It's more about, you know, so I think that can be like a good thing and a bad thing as well, because I don't want people to think that I think I'm better than everyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a humble part in it, and it's really, you have a focus on what you're doing. I feel like, you know, in any of these things, it's getting a little bit of attention. You have to get the attention out there in order to conquer your goals, because you need the donors and you need the volunteers. And that's what we started this out, because we want to be able to focus on a nonprofit for however long, 45 minutes or however long this is, and promote it to as many people as we can. You know, I feel that that's something that... That helps out, because a lot of nonprofits, they're focused on a goal. They're not focused on marketing or putting their name out there or doing, you know, they're focused on a purpose, you know.
And especially nonprofits that start out, like you said, like your own experience, you're so humble and you want things to happen organically, and they do, but then there's also that hard part about, you know, needing sponsors and volunteers and donations and all that, so... Our hope for this podcast is really to highlight you, and, you know, on our website, your website will be linked as well. So listeners listening in, please feel free to go to Justin Parker Warrior House's website. It's linked as well. So that's kind of what we want to make sure, that if people, you know, are inspired and want to reach out and want to volunteer or donate, they have the avenues and they have the information that they need to do so.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. I know we just mentioned the website. Is there any other way that folks can get involved or get a hold of Justin Parker Warrior House? How is that done? Is that strictly through the website?
Usually, and there's like a link to an inquiry form on the website, and they fill it out, and then I get a notification. So I've had people who, you know, want to volunteer, want to refer a family, or want to feature Justin Parker Warrior House or whatnot, and they just reach out. But the phone number is also there also, or you can email.
Okay. Why don't you give people, you can give people your email here?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Why don't you state the website and your email, and hopefully we get some people, you know, that need some assistance from you, or that can give assistance in helping out in your vision.
Okay. So the website is www.justin, which is JustinPWH.org. So it's JustinPWH.org. The email, we have a Gmail, so you can, it's JustinParkerWarriorHouse@gmail.com, or my personal email, which is l.marshall@justinpwh.org.
I just have a question. So can you give us one sentence? I know it's kind of hard on the spot, but one sentence that essentially captures the essence or the giving purpose of Justin Parker Warrior House.
No family left behind.
I like it.
I like that one too. Well, thank you, Lakeisha, for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us on Giving Purpose Podcast, and please click on the subscribe button to stay informed about new episodes. You can also find more information about Giving Purpose Podcast on our website at givingpurposepodcast.com, or add us on Instagram, Facebook, or Threads at Giving Purpose Podcast. You can also find us by the same handle on YouTube for some supplemental video content of each episode. We'd like to thank our guest, Lakeisha Phillips Marshall of the nonprofit Justin Parker Warrior House, for joining us today. And we also like to thank our co-creator and editor, Isabella Karina Hernandez, for all her behind-the-scenes work. We'd also like to thank our continued support from our chair, Professor Nisha Gerard Patkar, and committee members Kim Massey and Gordon Gurley, for their continued leadership and support. We'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for your interest and contributions to our featured guests and the work they do to make their giving purpose effective in our Bay Area communities.
Thank you for listening to Giving Purpose Podcast. For more information, you could visit our website at givingpurposepodcast.com.